Our readings today can be wrapped up in one word. Listen. Listening in silence can be kind of scary, can't it? But we need that silence because we all hear the Word of God. But to hear something is simply that our receiving those airwaves going across our eardrum. It's a passive activity. It's not an activity. But are we listening? Because to listen calls forth a response. It calls forth an action. It acknowledges the one who is with us. It acknowledges that relationship. They are not the same. Adam and Eve heard God, but who did they listen to? When they went and took that fruit from that tree in the center of the garden, they were listening to Satan. Cain heard God, but when he took his brother's life, he was listening to Satan. Except for Noah, the people at the flood were not listening to God. When they were building the Tower of Babel, the people of Babel were listening to themselves, to their own ego, to their pride, and building this tower to their own glorification. In our first reading today, the people of God are hearing, but they don't listen. God desires this new relationship. And so this new time with His people. And so to initiate that, He has an invitation to Abram. Abram was a very successful man. He had property. He had wealth. He was set. He was respected. In the midst of this setting, Abram not only hears the invitation of the voice of God, but he responds. Leave the land of your ancestors, and I will show you where you are to go. And he is given this promise. I will make of you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse those who curse you. These are the promises that God makes in His desire for this new relationship with His chosen people. And in a response that is very similar to Mary's response to the archangel, when he came to her, Abram simply leaves behind his plans, leaves behind his world, and he goes to where he is shown. And for this, he is our father in faith, even today. No longer Abram and Sarai, but Abraham and Sarah. Their descendants are Jesus' ancestors. But like Abram, learning to listen, Jesus' disciples have to learn how to listen as well. They know that there is something special about this man. They don't know everything about him yet, but there's something there. And they're following him. They've heard him speak, but are they really listening? So Jesus takes these three closest disciples, Peter, James, and John, the ones that accompany him so often in special missions, and he takes them up on top of the mountain. In the transfiguration, they will learn how to begin to listen, but not all at once. First, Jesus is transfigured before them. His face shines like the sun, his clothes white as light. He is offering this glimpse of his future glory, so that when he suffers and dies, they will know that there is more. When their human senses fail, they will begin to rely more and more on their spiritual senses. This transfiguration of Christ in his future glory is also our transfiguration for our future glory. So the disciples learn not only to hear him, but to begin to speak or begin to listen. Then there's the prophet Moses and Elijah, the law and the prophet who come to Christ, conversing with him. They hear them speaking, but it goes no deeper. They're thinking only of themselves. And so Peter comes to the Lord. Lord, it's good that we're here. Let me build a tent, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. He's telling him, Lord, forget the rest of the world. We're just going to stay here with you and Moses and Elijah. And that'll be good enough for us. He doesn't know what he's saying. But while he's still speaking, this cloud covers them. And a voice from within the cloud, this is my beloved Son. with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. Now they're beginning to learn to listen. They fall prostrate because they're so stricken with fear. And Jesus then comes and touches them. Rise up. Do not be afraid. And Jesus is there simply in his humanity. This glimpse of his divinity has been removed. But he knows that they are beginning to learn how to listen. So he tells them, do not tell this vision to anyone until the Son of Man has been risen from the dead. It is the resurrection that is that key ingredient that turned the hearts of the apostles to allow them to really listen. And it is the resurrection that allows us to listen as well. That's another reason why we have this time of Lent. So much demands our attention in the world. So many voices to hear. And many times we can find ourselves, like so many of our ancestors, listening to the wrong voice. In our office of readings yesterday, we had from the pastoral constitution of the church a Vatican II document. And in that document, it tells of many of the things in the world that can grab our attention and pull us away from God. And if these things were happening in the 1950s and the 1960s, how much more magnified are they today? How easy it is for us to fail to listen to the voice of God, to listen to our own inner voice, to listen to our own ego, our own pride, and not God's word. There are so many tensions in the world that reflect the tensions in the human heart. We can achieve both the best of humanity and we can achieve the worst of humanity. We can seek freedom, but how often do we seek slavery? We are limited as human beings, but our aspirations and our desires are limitless. Do we seek simply a materialistic way of life? Do we seek the promises of a godless philosophy, thinking we can attain the human ends just by human strength alone? And even in our faith, sometimes we can listen to the wrong voice. There's so many that can demand that the church change to my point of view. Take one specific teaching, whether it's in morality or whether it's in the law, whatever it might be. Something that I don't agree with, something that I don't understand. And I demand that the church change her teachings to conform to me. Change the liturgy. Make it more relevant to me. Do we think the church is here to serve me? Or do we realize that we are here to serve God and His people through serving in His church? Sometimes we can despair even of the meaning of human life. We can think here today, gone tomorrow. The great questions of humanity are with us today as they have been with us throughout history. For each generation, for each person to struggle with anew. What is the meaning of pain and suffering? Why is there evil in the world? Why am I here? Why is there anything rather than nothing at all? And it is our belief as Catholic Christians that there is meaning, that there is a purpose in this world. But that meaning and purpose is not found by following our own ego, by following our own pride. It's followed by following not the voice of the world, but the Word of God. And it is wrapped up in our gospel that we've been given today. This transfiguration of Jesus Christ is our true destiny. Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that certainty is the foundation of our lives as Christians. Things may change, but Christ does not. The voice of the world is enticing, so it doesn't last. We have a new beginning in Christ, no matter where we have been, no matter what we have done, no matter what we have not done. His invitation is a divine blessing for us, and it is strengthening us as we get this glimpse of our future glory in the transfiguration of our Christ. When we choose Christ, when we choose to listen to that invitation that is placed there before us, our true destiny is set before us. So we have this special time of Lent to quiet the voice of the world, to place aside the trappings of the world, to hear not only the spoken word, but to truly listen to that invitation in the depths of our hearts, to walk with Christ in the wilderness, to leave behind the things of the world so that we can grasp firmly to the things of eternity.